Yeah, at least with the two of us, we won't have audio problems.
Probably not, no.
In theory, yeah.
Yeah, there'll probably be something. It's always.
Yeah. Hello, and welcome to the 238th episode of the PC Gamer Podcast. Today is Thursday, September 3rd, and I'm your host, PC Gamer Associate Editor Josh Augustine. With PAX just around the corner, most of the PC Gamer staff en route to the convention center at this very moment. We're going to have a bit of a condensed podcast this week. But standing true by my side, as always, because he's the most loyal podcaster of all, I have Andy Bauman, PC Gamer Podcaster Producer.
That's right, I'm here. I'm going to PAX too, but I'm not leaving until tomorrow morning. And so I had podcasts to make.
Nice.
I wouldn't ditch out like everybody else.
Now, see, I'd said you're the most loyal, which I still believe is true.
I guess it is true. I was going to say, I don't know if it's true, but it actually is because everyone is like gone for PAX already. And I'm like, no, I can't go early.
Yeah. I mean, editors, we come and go depending on, our workload that week. But Andy, you are always here.
So what are you saying? I don't have enough work to do?
I don't know. Maybe we should start sending you pages to edit.
If you want your magazine to be like not in English, that would be that would be a wonderful thing.
Yeah, more snowboarding references at least.
Yo, bro, we need more lingo that says gnarly. No,
dude, I can dig that. Yeah. I can dig it.
We need to, hip up the magazine a little bit.
Hip up with some hip hop?
Yes. No, I just kidding. I don't know anything about writing. That's the problem.
That's all right. All right, well, that's why we're such a good team here, Andy.
Yeah.
All right, so how close to the PAX Convention Center are you now? Are you, like, just down the street?
No, that's in Seattle, and I'm in Portland. So it's about, it's 4 hours away, roughly. It might be a little less.
Okay, so you still got quite a trek for you.
Yeah, it's not a bad drive, per se, because I'm used to driving, like, 12 hours when I go home. But, I'm ready.
Nice. So just this morning, I watched that video that you made for our Bomb Dig PAX panel.
Oh.
And I'm even more excited about it, and I'm even more bummed that I can't be there. But the topic is, PC gaming, a playground for the exotic, not to be confused with a playground for the erotic. So if you're hoping to catch a glimpse of Evan hula dancing or something there, the panel is going to be sorely disappointed. Whoa, Evan is definitely hula dancing right now.
Well, there is a weird, there's probably a weird community of, because there is auto erotica on the PC, not to get into a scary territory, but there probably is some weird people who are way into that stuff.
I'm totally sure there is. If Second Life taught us anything, it's that there are disturbing fetishes all over the place.
Sure, yeah. But this panel, I wasn't sure what it was all about. I kind of wasn't expecting to be I thought you were going to be there, or I thought Dan and you were going to be there as well. So I was like, I'll just come. I'm not going to be on it. But then Evan, I looked on the schedule and my name was on one of the, on the panel. I was like, oh crap, I don't know what this is about.
Surprise.
Yeah. And then I was talking to Evan about what, the topic is, and it was very reassuring, and I really stand behind what it's about. And now I guess I'll tell you what that is.
Yeah, please.
So instead of being telling you the obvious things that PC gaming has, the most precise control, the best, multiplayer gaming, and the, nicest looking graphics of all the platforms, hint, hint, because it does. There's no question. I'm just kidding. It's not really about that, per se. It's about all the awesome communities and stuff that you can do with the PC that you may or may not have heard about, but we want you to learn more, and we want you to actually do it, because it's one thing to learn about MMOs like Love, but it's quite another thing to actually get in there and play, as I'm sure you know, because you have played Love.
Yeah, it's really difficult. I think what we're trying to avoid kind of with what you were saying was kind of preaching to the choir. Because we want this panel to be for PC gamers.
Yeah.
And you already know that the graphics are the best, the controls are the best, but there's so much out there that, especially with kind of with Love that you're mentioning, and I know Minecraft is being mentioned
Minecraft
on there as well.
Minecraft is exploding right now. And it's something that everybody knows about, but it's not something that people are maybe not everyone is jumping in on, and I think that the fact is we want people to jump in it and get a discussion going about why Minecraft is so appealing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's some of these things feel so hard to get into. Like, you hear the stories, like Evan will tell me all these cool stories from Arma, and like in you and Evan playing Arma, like the stories sound so cool, but it's so intimidating to someone like me that doesn't really know it and doesn't just kind of wants to jump in and maybe do okay without, you know, knowing all the military procedures or something. And so, yeah, this is really about kind of getting you in there, letting you know that this is out there. It's not as hard to get into as you might think, and
no,
kind of giving
you
the tools to get started.
Yeah, it's like maybe just reassuring people that, look, there's, and telling them about all these unique communities and then saying, just go do it, you know, like go race on iRacing.com because you won't be disappointed, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that constantly amazes me about these kind of more kind of niche specialized communities, as opposed to something like WoW or something, people are so friendly and so willing to help you learn because they're just excited to have someone else there to share this experience with. Mm-hmm. Like, I talk with Evan about Arma, and it's like, if I even slightly mention Arma, Evan will always be like, you know, what can I do to help you get excited about it? You know, what are you concerned? You know, do you want me to help you with this control or with this? And it seemed like I jumped into Neverdaunt 8-Bit, which is kind of a...
What's that?
It's actually very similar to Minecraft.
Oh.
It's made by one guy. The concept is like, you can create anything on these plots of land.
Mm-hmm.
And you can program it. There's a whole visual programming language built into it. And yeah, it's going to be in our upcoming issue.
Wow.
And so I jumped in there with kind of the developer and just kind of ran around. And it's so cool. I love these indie games because you just can't get this experience like running around a game with the developer. And like as we're running around, some guy will like, oh, hey, Aeon. The guy's name is Aeon. Hey, Aeon, nice seeing you again. You know, oh, man, did you see what I did last Thursday? And the guy's like, oh, yeah, that was so funny. And like a new player runs by and is having trouble. So Aeon walks over and gives him his like completely overpowered weapon. So the new player can like go and kill the boss that he's been trying to kill but hasn't been able to. And then like the new player's like, yeah, this is so cool. And then he gives back the weapon. And they even have what they call APCs, which are basically NPCs, but they're played by real players.
That kind of concept has always, I've always like wanted to explore that further. Like, why aren't there more, especially in Star Wars games? Why isn't there like a player-based character that's actually someone paid to play, you know, and actually role-play really hardcore? Like,
yeah, the trouble is, you know, splintered servers. Just
oh,
because
of course.
Like with something like if you want to do that with something like, as popular as Thor is going to be, I mean, you're going to need like 100 Luke Skywalkers.
Oh, you're right. I never thought about that.
The one thing though, the one game that did it was Matrix Online, and they had a lot of success with it, where they had they hired people originally, and once the game started to kind of lose followers, they opened it up to the community, and community members volunteered, but, you know, they had to be vetted and made sure, you know, they'd take it seriously and stuff. And that was one of my favorite parts about the game. It's so cool seeing, like, a Neo who wasn't just, like, standing there, but he'd actually be running around and, like, if you did something, he might comment on it. Like, he's actually there paying attention.
Wow.
So in this Neverdaunt one, I met Grandma, who's basically this older lady who went around the starting area with a rolling pin that if you hit somebody with the rolling pin, it gives them cookies and coffee. And so she was going around basically tapping people with the rolling pin, giving out like free cookies and coffee to everyone to like replenish their health and mana and help them keep going.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And everyone's just kind of standing around, and then they just start telling a story. It's almost like sitting around a campfire with like old friends. And they're just like, oh man, do you remember that time Grandma wandered outside the starting area? And that jerk came over and ganked her.
What?
And apparently this is like the story they started telling me. This guy ganked dear old lovely Grandma with her cookie pin, stole her cookie pin, and started running around killing enemies with it, and then like finding giant like dinosaurs and giving them cookies. And the rest of the player base was so outraged because like, what? You killed Grandma? She was so important and cool. Like, they basically rounded up a posse.
Yes.
We found this guy and killed him execution style and brought the cookie pin back to Grandma and gave it to her.
Wow. See, that's exactly like what we're trying to champion, I think, at this panel, basically. And I guess, you know, all the time as PC gamers, is that kind of experience is so like only can be happening on like cool games like that on the platform, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing I love about all the games we're talking about on the platform, like a lot of these are free or extremely cheap.
Yeah,
and it's like, you just can't find this sort of stuff on the console. Microsoft isn't going to let, you know, a free game that costs nothing that gets Microsoft no money, you know, just blow up and take over the whole platform. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I know a game that we might want to touch on really quick, because I saw you tweet that you're going to start an Eve Corp, or I don't know if you're behind it, but people are starting an Eve Corp in the name of PC Gamer.
Yeah, I'm personally not involved. It's actually our UK team that's setting it up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to jump in there and be a part of it. I think Tim Edwards is actually spearheading it. He spearheaded the WoW guild as well, that has like some thousand members. It's actually, they had to break it up into multiple guilds because they like hit the cap for how many people could be in there.
Oh, wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so if you're interested in joining the corp, I mean, it's we're talking about it on our forums right now. We're doing signups, kill boards, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, Eve is one of those games that has a really intimidating entry point. But it's something that is so, I think it's something that I need to experience, or else I feel like I'm missing out on like a huge movement that's happening. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, it really is. It's one of those games. It's kind of like the same thing I say with Love. Like, it's definitely for someone that is going to play Eve like as their main game all the time. That's a very specific type of player. Like, not everyone will be able to do that. Mm-hmm. But I think it is important, like, just to jump in there and see what it's about. Try it, because it's so different, I guarantee, than anything else you're playing right now. I mean, you don't know if you're that type of player yet. Just kind of jump in there, try it out. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But, I mean, there's like a 14-day trial. I mean, there's no reason not to. And now, you know, with the PC Gamer Guild, I mean, right now, at this point, all we're doing is trying to help new players. And so we're just trying to get people in there. So, I mean, if you've been kind of worried about starting or not, you know, jump in, get signed up with the PC Gamer Corp, and you know, we'll be happy to help you, kind of show you the ropes. It's still a very difficult game. It's a lot easier to get into than it was even a year ago.
Oh, really?
They've done a lot of stuff. Yeah, they've done a lot of stuff with the tutorial, and the interface was so hard to navigate, and they just like hid such vital elements like into like things that weren't shown by default, and you had to go into menus to try and show this by default, and then you could, you know, fly to the next system or something like that. And they've gone through and cleaned a lot of that up, so it's a much more streamlined process now.
That's pretty cool to hear. And the thing about these games, I think that maybe people aren't so sure, and it's certainly something that keeps me from some of them. And now that I've played a lot of Arma, it's something that I would never, like, I'm way more willing. Like, once you test the waters, I think it becomes a lot more appealing to try out these games. Because, say you're playing, like, Battlefield Bad Company 2, you're guaranteed, like, you know what the experience is going to be, pretty much. Like, you jump in, you know what it's going to be like. You might have, like, a really fun moment here or there, but it's essentially, it's a really quality experience every time. But it's kind of the same every time. But when you get in a game of like Arma, you get these like really wild missions that you go on with your friends. Like, it can be completely different anytime. You never know what you're going to get. It could be so boring, you know, that you have to make your own fun.
Yeah.
but you end up doing so, you know, but it's open to that kind of like interpretation almost. And so there's not a guarantee that there's some like AAA like blockbuster experience at the disposal of like, you know, playing these games, but there's certainly an interesting experience than one that you won't find by playing games like, you know, Battlefield. But not to say that Battlefield's bad, because I love Battlefield. But anyway, that's, I think maybe keeps people from jumping in, which I don't think should be a factor.
Yeah, I think it's totally, I think games like this kind of have much higher highs and lower lows.
Definitely, like, yeah.
And that's one thing that kind of amused me about the time with the CSM. It's kind of the player council of the EVE Online group that I went and spent time with them probably 6 months ago.
Right.
And they basically spent the whole weekend, you know, trying to convince me how great their game was, which I already agreed with them. But, they felt so passionately. Like, every time we're talking, they're just like, oh, let me tell you about this other thing we did and how great it was. And then one night they're just like, you know, I think 99% of the time I play this game, I'm bored. It's like, I don't know what to do. Nothing's really exciting. I don't know what to do. Nothing exciting is happening. We're maybe flying around, you know, traveling, looking for stuff. They said, but that 1% of the time when just the craziest stuff happens is the best gaming I've ever had in my entire life by far. That I don't mind sitting around waiting for weeks for that one moment. They said that moment is so good.
Yeah, so, that pretty much is a really powerful statement that is so true.
Yeah. And this is not an isolated feeling. I mean, the fact it can create such powerful moments. It's just, yeah, it's truly a testament. So yeah. Definitely. So yeah, I mean, we'll definitely have more info on the panel and PAX in general, over the weekend and, next week. For those of you going to PAX, the panel is, Friday at 6:30 at the Wolfman Theater, and Crawl 827 on Twitter was asking us if there's going to be a meet and greet afterwards. Absolutely. There's going to be one immediately following the panel. So it'll be out near Wolfman Theater at 7:30 p.m. Evan, Logan, Andy Bauman, and Chris Komisky will be there. So definitely go there, have them sign your arms, babies, I mean, whatever you want.
I'll take pictures of you, but I don't have any. I don't think you want me to sign your babies.
So, all right, yeah, so go there to have your pictures taken by Andy Bauman, if that's what you have always wanted.
There you go. That's what I can offer. No, I'm so excited. I think we're also in talks. Well, I think it's pretty much been established that we want to present. I mean, I can't really make this sound not pretentious, but we want to present the panel to everybody. So not that we think it's going to be great, because we don't really know if it's going to be great. But
it's going to be great.
But it should be something maybe people want to see on the website. It's good website material for the people who can't come to PAX to check out. So we're going to have it on the website sometime in the future.
Oh, that's fantastic news. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, great. So even if you can't make it to PAX, I mean, you'll definitely still get the goodness. Andy, I'm curious, kind of, have you had a chance to look through the schedule? What else are you excited about seeing at PAX this
week? As far as the panels, I haven't seen like what is going to be on display as far as game-wise. I have really no idea. But that's sort of the fun of it, is just to walk the floor. And for me, I don't get to go to E3 and all these awesome things that, you know, the gaming press get to go to. So it's just amazing to be at this place where all these games are on display. I'm like, oh my god, it's all my favorite developers. Like, how do I?
Yes.
Like, it's just a wonderful feeling, I think. As far as panels, I'm gonna go see. There's one on game writing that I'm kind of interested in, just to hear like the intricacies of it, and just Gary Wood is gonna be in it on the panel, and I want to see him, you know, chew the fat about game writing. And there's one about web video that I just want to see, because I want to see. I'm interested in web video. I've never tried a serious bet into it, like, but that's sort of where everything's going. So I want to like see what the people doing it now, like what they're doing with it, I guess. And then there's a panel on Ask a Games Journalist, which Logan will be in, I think. I want to see that just because I know it'll be good. And I don't know.
Feel free to ask questions about squirrels. I'm sure he'd love that.
Yeah. And then just other. There's like, you know, people I'm fans of that I want to see, like Larry Herb from Xbox Live. I want to see the Twittering for the Man panel, because it's just about being like a community manager for companies and stuff like that. I don't know.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I was pretty excited. There's a lot of good MMO stuff there.
Oh, really?
Raid Warning, which is a WoW podcast, which is kind of off-color humor some of the times, is doing a live podcast at 12:30 on Friday. So that's pretty exciting. I'm hoping they're doing live streaming as well. So I'm hoping I can hop in there, maybe get in the chat room and do that as well, be a part of that. Guild Wars 2 is talking about designing dynamic events at 10 a.m. on Saturday. And that's really exciting to me, because their dynamic event system is so cool. It's basically their way of letting players change the world for other players, you know, in an MMO, which is so hard to do. Mm-hmm. And let's see. Yeah, there's actually one, MMOs Empowering the Disabled, Enriching Lives, on Saturday as well. And that's something, like, we've gotten a few letters from time to time talking about, you know, people like, oh, you know, I'm in a wheelchair my whole life. I can't, you know, participate in sports, and just telling all these stories about how MMOs have kind of let them kind of go out into a world on an equal level with everyone and not feel like they're being judged by the way they look, you know, or just be able to be accepted, you know, for who they are and not, you know, what they look like.
Well, that's cool. That's really cool. The great thing about this convention is that there are so many panels for people. No matter what you're into, there's going to be amazing info. And
yeah, just absolutely.
And I think, you know, podcasting is such a big part of the culture. The gaming culture, and the fact that that so many of the great podcasts are on site, like doing stuff, is really exciting too. Because you get to go kind of see the experience in the flesh. It's really neat. Like last year, the GFW Brodeo reunion was like one of the greatest things. Because that podcast was, I don't think that's just like one in a million podcasts. Like, there'll never be a greater podcast. I don't, but it's, of course, it's been dead for like 2.5, 3 years. But to see that like come back together and have a reunion like that was so cool. Like, it's just part of the experience of being, you know, a gamer.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's almost like going to like, you know, Rock Band concert. Not like the game Rock Band, but, you know, like a real rock concert. You know, yeah, it's like, it's just a different experience seeing it live, seeing how they act, how it goes, you know, unedited, just kind of seeing their personalities come out even more.
Yeah, and you know, like, when you're listening to a podcast or something, you're like the only one within like a million mile radius who's like way into it. But yeah, when you're there with like 200 other people who are just as into it as you are, it's a neat feeling. It's like you finally feel included in something. It's cool.
Yeah. One thing, it's kind of like a podcast that's going on. Penny Arcade is going to be is playing D&D live.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'm really excited about that because they do a podcast. It's really funny. They're just really witty, clever people. That's going to be really fun to have kind of an audience there watching. I mean, that's such a weird concept for D&D. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be, I'm really excited about that. And it's kind of like you said, I think it's going to be so much better just because you're going to be surrounded by people that are laughing at it, you know, with you.
Yeah, it's a really cool feeling.
So anybody that's not going to PAX, like me, because reading all this stuff, I'm getting so excited, and then I'm constantly reminding, like, I'm disappointed. I mean, definitely keep an eye on the site. So many news outlets are going to be there. I mean, these panels are great, and their content is going to be filtered onto the web. So even if you aren't interested in PAX, I would look up the schedule and find games that you're interested in, like Guild Wars 2. Kind of see, okay, they're having a panel at 10 a.m. There's probably going to be a lot of good news coming out at 10 a.m. Go out there, make sure you're online, check in the site, check in the Guild Wars 2 site. We'll probably have some, as well as PCGamer.com. So just kind of keep an eye on what you're interested in, because there's going to be a lot of good info coming out of there. So,
for sure.
Plus, your feet won't be incredibly sore at the end of the day. So, I'm walking around. Let's go ahead and jump into a little news.
What do you got, Josh?
Oh, I got a lot of stuff.
What's happening?
First of all, let's go out. Let's start off with a bang. Our Elemental review is up on the website. Yeah, there's a lot of kind of crazy talk going around our first post, which was not a review. We were just kind of talking about our first impressions, kind of warning people like, hey, this game isn't quite finished yet. You know, if you're thinking about buying it, well, so now we have the official review up. It's up on the site. Don't want to spoil the score for anybody, but it might surprise some people.
Spoiler alert.
So, yeah. So definitely go on there and check it out. It's a Stardock game. It's basically a strategy RPG hybrid. So, yeah. Check out there. But more exciting news that I am excited to hear your opinion on, Andy.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, so it just came out, you know, you'll be able to gamble for guns in Call of Duty Black Ops.
Oh,
I
saw last night a little bit about this. I didn't keep up with it, though, because I was like, a multiplayer event for Black Ops, like, what could possibly be so awesome they need a whole event? But then it turns out there was a lot of information that they had, like, that sounded really neat. But I didn't get.
Yeah.
I didn't really get a lot of it. So what?
All right, so basically, how it works is there's going to be like currency inside the game called, at least tentatively called, Call of Duty points. So this is not based on real money. It's not like real gambling at all. But you earn this currency by playing the game, and then basically you can join servers like that are wager servers,
mm-hmm.
and you put in money to play on the server. And at the end of the match, the top three players split the pot. But then even more than that, you can like put money down on specific contracts, basically like make a bragging bet to the server saying, you know, yo, I bet I can kill four people with a flamethrower in the next 2 minutes. And so you throw out like specific stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And if you get it, then, you know, you get bonus XP, you get Call of Duty points. But if you don't, you lose XP and you lose Call of Duty points.
Oh, wow.
And you have to believe, like, if you go out there and be like, I'm going to kill everyone with a flamethrower, like, everyone's only goal is to be to stop you from killing them with a flamethrower.
Yeah.
So this is going to be... Holy crap,
that could set up some really awesome moments. I mean, I remember seeing this in a mod for Counter-Strike. Do you remember?
No.
But it was more based on the people who are already dead, and just observing the match, because you remember in Counter-Strike, it was like paintball, like you're out for that match.
Yeah.
And then the people who are dead could wager, because Counter-Strike also had the money system where you get money to buy guns every round, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Okay, so and then the people would bet on who was going to win during the, you know, while they were dead. And then if they, the team who like was underdog or something and won, the people who bet like got all this money for the next round. So it was actually really cool. I think it was a server-side mod actually. And
yeah,
I thought of that when I heard about that. And yeah, but this sounds like a way more fleshed out version of it where you're not only betting, you're not necessarily betting who wins or loses based on the team, but you're betting on yourself. You're like, I can beat everybody here.
Yeah.
Which is,
yeah, exactly. I mean, you could say like, I bet I will get 100 headshots in the next 20 minutes or something like that. Yeah. And just, you can create those kind of artificial drama moments where it's like, if the clock's ticking down and you have 98 headshots, I mean, you're going to be freaking out trying to get those last two headshots.
Wow. Yeah. That's really cool. Actually.
Yeah. I love also too, because, I feel like this totally plays into kind of the attitude on shooter servers. Like, you got the big guys out there talking trash all the time. It's like, this is great. It lets you put your money where your mouth is, boys. I mean, if you want to talk trash, you better be able to put down some serious in-game serious money. And see who, and you know, see if you can back it up. I mean,
there are those sites though that do take money. Are those still around that you bet money? You like play for money? I haven't looked into those in a long time. Yeah,
I have to say I've never looked into that, but I have to imagine that they've got to be around somewhere.
Yeah.
If there's any activity, you know, somebody will bet on it.
That's
just a rule. So yeah. So overall, you're pretty excited. You aren't worried about this kind of ruining the experience, or?
Oh, are you kidding? I think this sounds like a major enhancement to the whole thing. Like, talk about, because Call of Duty's multiplayer experience is already such a set moment. Like I was saying earlier, you know it's going to be a pretty good time, but it's like kind of set in stone what's going to happen. You know, someone's going to inevitably jump over the wall with dual 1887 shotguns and blow your face off like every five minutes. Like, you know it's going to happen. And then sometimes you'll get some headshots. And you know, but doing really crazy wagering moments like this changes the dynamic enough that it could like create these crazy moments that we were talking about, like only happen like 1% of the time.
Yeah.
Could be interesting.
Very cool. All right, yeah. So looking forward to that. Next, let's see. Let's go ahead and skip that one. So this is kind of interesting kind of industry news, I guess. AMD is scrapping the name ATI for its video card series.
Oh, yeah.
AMD bought out ATI a while back. They've been keeping their names on the cards. Now they're just going to go with Radeon as kind of the name of the AMD video cards. I mean, obviously, this doesn't make a big difference to anybody. I mean, I just thought it was pretty interesting. You know, right as ATI was starting to get legit cards, kind of starting to gain back some respect among gamers, they go ahead and scrap it. And I mean, Radeon is just not a catchy name to me.
No, I've always wondered why they call their cards the Radeons, but
yeah. I don't, like, maybe that's a real word. Maybe it's like some crazy science word that I don't understand,
But dude, having the ATI NVIDIA dichotomy has been such a part of gaming. Like, why now it's going to be weird without it?
Yeah. The one thing that I thought was interesting was AMD said that in their testing, they got significantly better results from the name AMD on video cards than the name ATI. And I think part of that might be because NVIDIA and ATI have been fighting for so long.
Yeah.
And people have kind of chosen a side at this point. And there's kind of the stigma like, oh, ATI isn't good. You know, ATI is terrible. NVIDIA rocks or whatever.
Yeah.
That I think kind of starting with a new brand, AMD, that, you know, that's kind of neutral, that everyone kind of, okay, yeah, I like their stuff. You know, maybe let's people judge it more on the specs, which are about equal or even favoring AMD nowadays than anything else.
Yeah, that's probably a good way to think about it, and probably really smart people came up with that idea.
Yeah, exactly. People who spent lots of money on focus groups and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
There you have it. If you're looking for video cards, you know, in the near future, start checking out AMD instead of ATI for their latest stuff. So,
what is the same?
yes, exactly. So normally I like to kind of point you guys in the direction of a sale each week, but you know what's better than a sale?
What?
Free games.
Free is better than money.
That is true. Even if it's little amounts of money. We're giving away 5 free games on our website this week. Arma 2, Aeon, Mafia 2.
What?
City of Heroes, and of course, everyone's favorite and the game that has been most demanded we give away, Hello Kitty Online. And so, yeah, we're giving away on our site. The post is called Free Games for the Long Weekend. To enter, you just have to post a comment on the article. The instructions are in there. Basically, we just ask that you tell us which of these game worlds you'd want to live in real life and why. Yeah, so go on there. Just go to our main page, hit the free PC games tab. Also, even if you miss out on the giveaway, we're going to be giving away the games Friday afternoon. If you miss out on the giveaway, I definitely recommend still checking out the post, because the post has 5 games that are having either open betas or just launched like a free-to-play weekend, like Champions Online and Love are both having free-to-play weekends. So if you're bored this weekend, check the site. There's 5 great free games that you can play for free. Let's go ahead and jump into a question or two, Andy.
Sure.
Hey, guys. Colby from Salt Lake City again. Question this week. In lieu of Evan's semi-recent soapbox moment about why we should be lauding bad AI, quote-unquote, what's your favorite or most memorable bad AI moment in-game? Mine is from Crysis. It's early in the game. I'm in the middle of a little village swarming with guards, and I get spotted with no nanosuit energy. I head for the nearest building, trailing at least 20 guards. I activate stealth as I'm heading up the stairs and head into the nearest room to catch my breath. The guards, geniuses that they are all basically stuck on the stairs, my last known location, saying things like, "I know you're there," over and over. I pull out a grenade, throw it toward the stairway, close my eyes, and pray. Boom. I wait a second, all is quiet. I slowly peek around the corner, and there they are, 20 freaking guards with limbs askew, piled on top of each other in all their idiot glory. Awesome. Please share yours, and keep up the great work. Thanks.
All right, well, I'll go ahead and jump in. I've been playing a lot of Dragon Age lately.
Oh, yeah.
And at one point, I had... I was trying to play through on hard difficulty. I ended up having to give up. I just couldn't do it. I'm sorry. I feel Dan Stapleton would be very disappointed in me. I know. But I played it. I had like a group. I had one of the massive ogres, which were pretty tough to take down. And I only had a rogue left who's dual wielding daggers. Basically, I found a pillar that was fairly large that I could run to one side of, kind of pull up my bow and arrow, which I'm not spec'd into at all, shoot one arrow, and then run to the other side of the pillar, and then he'd like stop, turn around, and start running the other direction.
Yeah.
And then I could shoot an arrow, then do that over and over. I probably did it at least 100 times going back and forth of just picking off like 2 health at a time on this massive ogre. Wow. And it took me probably like 15 minutes, but I slowly whittled down his health. And so it was not my proudest moment, because it probably would have been easier to just wipe and start again and clear it with my full group. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of fun just kind of like finding little bugs like that, where you're like, okay, you know, where it's almost like I'm outthinking the programmer on this one.
Yeah, that reminds me, the arrow, talking about arrows, reminds me of Oblivion a lot, because I spec'd as like a witch hunter, was I think they called it in that game, and I was just like a super agile archer caster, so you could cast really powerful spells, but also you attack at range with your gear. But I was so fast and agile that like practically nothing could keep up with me in the whole game. And so I would just like run around and jump like a madman, like do these like 180 rocket jump style arrow shots. And it was like, it made for the most like pretty fun, frantic gameplay, but it was almost game breaking in the sense that nothing could ever hit me.
Yeah.
And so I'd just be like running around these like melee armed people and just kiting them basically. It was so much fun. I was like, I wonder if they like knew that you could do this. But it totally worked, and I slaughtered everything.
So. Did you feel like the scout in Team Fortress 2? Because when you described that, that's immediately what I thought of.
Yeah, like, pretty much. Although, I think that was pre-Team Fortress 2. Maybe
yeah,
not.
Probably.
I don't remember at this point. It's all a blur.
Oh, I know how that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing, like, most memorable AI problems, I mean, any RTS. I mean, I understand that pathfinding in an RTS must be extremely difficult to program, but it's still so terrible. It's just like, oh, so many times I like tell my guy to go somewhere, then I start doing something else. And I look back, oh, he decided to wander into his base instead of, you know, running the safe route along the bottom.
Yeah.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So that's definitely the most memorable for me, just all those mashed together of sending units somewhere and then realizing 5 minutes later that they're not there and having no idea what happened to them, but they wandered into some lava along the way. One more question?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, guys. This is Gavin from Portland, home of the secret underground of Portland, Oregon. I have a couple questions for you. First of all, when do you guys think we'll see the next iteration of StarCraft II? I know it's kind of early, but I'm thinking, okay, well, they did all the multiplayer stuff, so they probably have the characters worked out. I'm hoping I'm not going to have to wait a couple years, like Half-Life 2.
What was this? What was he mentioning? Secret underground stuff in the start of that sentence? Was he like,
dude? I have no idea. But now
was he trying to reveal something? And like maybe someone like caught his eye and was like, "You better not say anything more." Like I'm feeling like he's trying to send us a secret message or something.
I think I need to check it out further. I do know that I know that Seattle has an underground tour that you can take because the city was like built upon itself after a great fire or something hit, and they had to like fix it because it was built in such a way that the tide was like screwing up the city a lot of the time, so they like built it up on top of itself, so there's like a whole underground. I think
that's kind of creepy. Do you think there's like weird mutants that live down there?
It's actually not as fascinating in person as you think it would be. But the tour is full of, you know, educational materials, so it's nice to know about the city. I don't know if there's one in Portland, though. I didn't know Portland has an underground, so I'll have to check it out.
Weird, yeah. All right, go report up for us, Andy.
I guess so, yeah.
You should do like a Blair Witch movie down there or something. Okay. That'd be sweet.
No, it wouldn't.
All right, so as for the next part of StarCraft II coming out, we've kind of been talking about this. Obviously, Blizzard said nothing. We don't know anything for sure, just kind of our gut reaction, just kind of having seen the way kind of Blizzard creates games and how games timelines come out in general. Our guess would be probably early to mid next year, because Cataclysm obviously coming out late this year, it seems like. Then we think, you know, probably StarCraft, you know, early to mid next year, then probably Diablo 3 maybe late next year. That kind of lets Blizzard spread out their games so they can, you know, move their strike teams around to help out with the launches as they come out. Yeah, that's our best guess.
Yeah, and as far as like saying, well, they've already got all the units worked out, so it shouldn't be that hard. There's a lot of stuff, if you remember, in the single player campaign for the Terrans specifically that you can do that isn't in the multiplayer, and a lot of it makes the single player experience kind of a lot more fun in a way, because you're like, you get, you know, you can feel yourself getting more powerful and useful. For example, science vessels. I could have used some freaking science vessels, but I never got them in single player because my research never got high enough, or I picked the wrong thing or something, and I was always like missed them so much. So not everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So for the Zerg, they must be just, you know, iterating on units that they're thinking of implementing for the single player.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that's what it is, and kind of it'll be fun to see what they come up with and kind of the upgrades to the different buildings and stuff like that. Because, I mean, Zerg don't really have the equivalent of bunkers or anything like that that you can upgrade. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. I don't know. Do you think they'll try and add units into multiplayer?
No.
No?
But okay. Certainly single player.
I really want them to, though.
I'd be, you know.
Wouldn't it be cool I would love to see, even if it's just like one new unit per side that kind of really mixes it up, like the Firebat and then something for Zerg and then something for Protoss as well. It'd be nice just to have a little something, you know, 6 months down the line that just kind of upsets the balance a little bit just to keep it interesting.
Yeah, you're probably right, but I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. So, yeah, probably early to mid next year is our best guess. I don't know. I'll probably have to replay the single player campaign right before it comes out just so I can kind of remember what all happened.
Nah, dude, I'll just make a sweet video.
Like, oh, even better. All right, done. Yeah, after you see this video panel at PAX, you should know everything about, you know, making the best videos around.
No, so. I mean, we did the one for StarCraft 1 and Brood War.
Although
it turns out the story to Brood War is semi-inconsequential, it seems like.
Yeah, it was surprising. I didn't really think about that. Like, I always remembered it, you know, being big, important. Then it's like, oh, wait, all this stuff happened in the first one.
Yeah,
oh,
like... Okay. There's loose ends that happen in Brood War that, because you kind of save, so Raynor kind of saves Manx from the Earth Dominion forces in Brood War, but then you don't really hear what happens, and then all of a sudden in this game, in StarCraft 2, they're just back to being mortal enemies. Like, nothing really came of that. And then at the end of Brood War, you do meet the hybrid, but it's being, you know, brewed by some guy that's perhaps working for the Zelnaga, who, like, double-crossed everybody in Brood War, but you never really hear about him or the Zelnaga very much in StarCraft 2. You just see the hybrid. You see the hybrid and the Protoss thing in the campaign. So, I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah, so those guys are probably coming, I guess, in the Zerg campaign or the Protoss campaign then. That would make sense to bring the guy back that's brewing it and, you know, everyone else.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It seemed like Brood War didn't matter.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And at some level, it really doesn't. You know, it's been, 10 years? I mean, most people won't remember that anyways. True. So maybe they're kind of hoping they could sweep that under the carpet as they went by.
Yeah, burrow it.
All right, let's go ahead and jump into quick playlists real fast. Andy, what have you been playing?
Oh, what have I been playing? The only thing of note is I played my first one-on-one StarCraft match, actually online. I've been playing a lot of computer skirmishes and with my friend, who my best friend is like freaking diamond number one. So,
oh man,
yeah, he's intense, and I can't. And so, I've been trying to just like learn from him a little bit. So we've been playing against computers, but I've played my first one-on-one, and man, when you know you're on top and you're winning, that's a feeling. That's like that 99% feeling. It's addicting, man. There's a rush there, because the guy I was playing certainly outbuilt me for resources, and he did harassed my resource gatherers enough that I got pretty set back, but my army was already like way stronger than him, and so I was able to take out his base like no problem, and he didn't have very much of an army, and so by like it looked like he was gonna win because he had so much more of a base, and then he already had an expansion, but I was so much more focused on getting my army out quicker and a little bit more, you know, well balanced in a quick amount of time, that I was able to beat him with way less. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It was actually a really cool feeling knowing that I had won by being like so quick to get my army out. And the moment that you realize that you're going to win is such a good moment. Like that game is just like fantastic.
Yeah, it is. Oh, but those moments when you realize that you're not going to win, those are soul crushing.
It is. There's like nothing you can do to win.
Yeah. Oh, I have to watch these marauders slowly tear through my zealots. Oh.
Yeah, but the multiplayer is so good. I can't believe how good it is.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. So, are you going to keep playing, like trying to get better, get ranked higher?
I want to, but I've been a little bit busy this week, so.
Yeah. Good call. I don't know. I haven't been able to get into the multiplayer too much.
Like, oh, dude, why not?
I don't know. Like, see, I feel like if you were playing and you're like, hey, Josh, want to play? Then I'd be like, oh, yeah, awesome. I'll jump in there and play. That'd be great.
Yeah, but it's a little intimidating.
Yeah, it really is. Because I just know that there's so many people out there that are way better than me. Like, I don't know. If I have to play by myself, it's like, why don't I just go play WoW? I know I can succeed at that game.
It's like something you're really good at and comfortable with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So next time you're playing, you should definitely let me know.
Well, I'm trying to get really good at StarCraft.
All right. You should send me a message when you start. Are we Real ID friends?
Oh, I'm sure. Dude, the Facebook thing was awesome. It just added like every single person I know in my life to my Battle.net account.
Yes.
It was great.
So speaking of WoW, I hit 80 on my Resto Feral Druid. So I think that's like my fifth level 80 or so now.
Did you like just start it? Because that would have been a really fast level.
No, that would have been crazy. Yeah. I have a bunch of characters that have just been sitting at 70 that I just haven't really played since Wrath of the Lich King came out. So I think my goal for Cataclysm, because I was getting kind of bored with WoW, I needed like a new goal to hit. I need something like that carrot in front of me to keep going.
Yeah, did you?
So, like, my goal is
you had to make a bet with yourself, like in.
Exactly. Wow. I was throwing down some Call of Duty points and making a call.
Yeah.
So I'm putting down 100 Call of Duty points that I can get all of my characters that are like level 60 or 70 right now up to 80 before Cataclysm.
Nice.
That's my goal. Yeah. So now it's a little disappointing to hit 80 on my druid and then immediately log off and not touch it again for like months. but now I jumped onto my hunter who is level 71 now. So now I'm climbing him up the charts.
All right, Don. I had a hunter that I only got to about level 35 when the game first came out.
Nice, dude. Yeah. You got to get back in there. Start leveling again for Cataclysm.
I don't know what happened to it. I guess they keep that info back that long. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. They don't delete characters at all.
Oh wow.
So God. At least not due to timeliness or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they always want you to come back and give them your money.
I can see that being the case. Though, once you hit level 80 though, that's not like the end. Like, there's still so much more you need to do, right? In order to get a character like up to like rating levels, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of the big saying, you know. And WoW is like, once you hit 80, the game finally begins, basically.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
That's when you start like climbing gear. You can start like doing dungeons with groups, and then you get enough gear, and then you can start doing the heroic versions of dungeons, which are more difficult but drop better loot. And it's basically like a stepping stone. Like, you just have to do heroics till you're good at heroics. Okay, then you can do small raids. Okay, then you can do higher level raids. Okay, now you can do the best raids in the game. And it definitely takes a while. It can be a little tiring if you're not dedicated.
But what's your motivation to get all your characters up to 80 so you can kind of have that experience with anybody that you want?
Yeah, basically, so then, like, because they're changing the classes up a lot in Cataclysm.
Yeah.
And right now I'm really enjoying Fury Warrior, but I know a lot of kind of my favorite parts of the Fury Warrior are being changed. Mm. So it'd be really nice if I could have all my characters at 80 and then just kind of try them all when Cataclysm comes out and see which one I like the new version of best and be like, oh, you know, the new hunter is really cool. Okay, maybe I'll play my hunter first, you know,
wow.
Rather than having to be stuck with, right now I have like a paladin and a death knight and a warrior. And it's like, it'd be nice to have more options when Cataclysm comes out.
You'll be all set, dude.
Dude, that's the plan. So other than that, I've been having a massive love affair with LEGO Universe this week. This game is so much
fun. I saw you playing that. I was like, what is he doing?
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm kind of a sucker for games that are just pure unadulterated fun. Like, I don't need it to be hardcore or super serious or, you know, realistic. I just want games that inspire me to have fun. And that's what this game does so well. It's like so much of the, like, the mission, I was running around, just run around doing stuff. Okay, this is a pirate-themed area. That's cool. You know, going, all these pirates are being pinned down by some madman with a gun. And, like, I get up to the top of the tree, and it's like a monkey with a pistol swinging on a tree, just firing like crazy all over the place. Yeah, and then, like, there's zombie pirates going around. But if you, you know, get enough bricks, you can quickly build, like, a mermaid. And she'll, like, sing a song like a siren, and all the zombie pirates will be mesmerized and go, like, go stand over near so you can sneak by.
Wow.
It's like, there's so much just kind of silly stuff. So I just realized something the other night. I've pretty much played for, like, 3 solid nights. Maybe somewhere between 15, 20 hours total, max.
Yeah.
Probably even less than that. I've realized I'm almost finished with the content. I'm, like, 3/4 of the way through it.
Oh.
For an MMO, that is, like, just simply unacceptable. I mean, for a while, I mean, you have to put in 300, 400 hours to hit the end of the... And that's just to hit the level cap. And then there's even more content after this. So the one thing is LEGO Universe, you know, a lot of their end game is going to be just building with bricks. You know, collecting bricks, playing mini games to get bricks, and kind of building cool stuff. And so, I don't know, like, I love this game. But this might be the kind of game, you know, I check in on every 6 months and play through the content that they've produced by then. And then, you know, okay, finish with the content. There's really nothing to do. I'll come back in 6 more months and have a fun time.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's still in a closed beta. It's not coming out until October. So, and its target audience is kids. So I understand that, you know, that they don't need as much content, you know, as a hardcore MMO. But yeah, so, I mean, if nothing else, I'd probably recommend most people, when this goes into open beta, jump in there, have fun for a few nights. I mean, you'll have an incredible time. If you like fun, you'll have a good time.
What if you don't like fun?
Then this is not the game for you.
Okay.
I highly recommend going back to, like, Tactical Sims or something.
What?
Oh, man. I don't know. whatever not fun people like. Andy, what do you say we wrap this up and send it out to sea?
I can do that. I know how to do that.
All right, lead us home then.
So that's it for today's show, basically. And if you liked the show, you can get more greatness of PC Gamer, including Josh's handiwork in their monthly magazine subscription. And it's available for some price that I'm not sure right now of. But you can go to PCGamer.com and get the info on that. Was that good?
That's the best outro I've ever heard, Andy. And where can they call us if the lovely gentleman or gentlewomen would like to leave us a message?
That's right. And we love getting your feedback and your questions because it keeps the discussion alive and whatever's on your mind. Get something off your chest if you need to. The toll-free number for that, and it's a message that you'll leave to us that we can play on the podcast. Call 1-877-404-1337, and then the extension will be 724. But there's a menu, I think, that tells you what you need, what extensions are. So if you don't remember the 724 part, it'll tell you. I think. Maybe not.
There you have it. The decisive word from Andy Bauman.
Kind of decisive. I haven't called the mailbox in a while.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not sure I've ever called the number. I usually just, if I was going to do it, I email to the pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, well, funny you mentioned that. You can certainly do that as well. Record your own voicemail and send it to the podcast Gmail, pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com.
We're just tag teaming this outro, Andy. We're a dynamic duo.
Something like that. What else do you need to plug? Anything?
I think that's it, actually.
Cool.
No more plugging. So on behalf of everyone here at PC Gamer, thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in next week for our awesome special post-PAX podcast. And have a good week.